Rwanda's history of war is written all over its youth. There are scars on the faces of young men and women, and there is the trauma that's left behind a trail of problems. We're with Rwandan journalist Fred Mwasa. He's taking us to meet women who were raped during the genocide.
The Tutsi women were believed to be a source of the problems. They gave birth to the Inyenzi, the cockroaches.
Cockroaches is what many in the country's majority Hutu population called minority Tutsis. In 1994, ethnic hatred, which had been whipped to a fevered pitch by Hutu extremists, spilled over. Hutu militias were slaughtering men, women, and children. Rape was widespread and systematic. Statistics are hard to come by in Rwanda, but estimates say anywhere from 250 to 700,000 women were brutally raped.
There have been rapes, but during 100 days, day after day. Not by one man, by men and men and men.
Dr. Agnes Binagwaho, Rwanda's Minister of Health, says 18 years later, the women are reminded of the violence every day.
The survivors of genocide, most of them have been infected to kill them slowly. They killed the husband, they raped the woman with people that were HIV positive.
Thousands of women contracted HIV through genocide rape. Their attackers, at times men who were their neighbors, saw rape as an act of war, sometimes using sharp sticks or guns. Many of the women who survived lost their homes, their husbands, their children, and over the years, have watched in humiliated silence as their rapists prospered. We're at a guest house on the outskirts of Kigali. The morning sun pours through open windows and open doors into a concrete white room. Women sit close together, holding each other's hands. They wear vibrant yellow, red, and blue cloth wrapped around their hair. But as they sing this uplifting song, their faces look somber, their bodies are still. Their children, mostly teenage boys here, sit clustered in the back of the room. No one knows just how many children were born of the rapes that occurred in 1994. Some estimates say 2,500 to 3,000. Another goes as high as 20,000. They are now in their late teens, and their lives have been tough. These women and children are supported by a nonprofit group called Savota. It was started by Godeliv Mukosarasi.
I hid myself. Even my children, we hid in the bush.
We
would eat uncooked potatoes, uncooked. We could eat them. Then they would also go to other families to look for food at night. Or they go and beg where the food is. Others would look for rainy water. They would search for rainy water to drink it.
Godelieve's daughter was raped while they were on the run. She decided to start this organization to help others facing sexual violence from the genocide. Godelieve saw a gaping hole in the services that were provided. The Rwandan government has a fund for genocide survivors. It provides some financial assistance for housing, health care, and education. But here's the catch. Children of genocide rape are not considered survivors. The genocide occurred in the spring of 94. They were born in 95. It's a technicality that many see as an injustice. Savota tries to assist the mothers and their children. The children are often stigmatized. Their neighbors know they live in single-parent households, which on its own is frowned upon. And they are considered to be children of the enemy. About a dozen or so young men grab folding chairs and sit down in one of the guest house's small rooms. They look down into their laps, the way any teenage boy would. After much hesitation, Desire Hutungame begins to speak, so softly, we must lean in to hear.
All along, I was asking my mom, who's my father? Why is not my father with you? Where exactly could he be living? At first, she would keep quiet and instead harass me, with bad words, you know, and my mom would get angry faster at me, so I wouldn't know why.
The young men were born into an ultimate test of a mother's love.
After being cancelled in Sevota, she came and told me the whole story. She told me they raped her.
And
then I started consoling her.
Consoling his mother brought them closer, Desire says. In the eyes of their communities, these families are pitied. They're considered to have lost blessings. But at the same time, they're often outcast by members of their own families. Many of these children are mysteries, even to themselves. Another young man stands up and raises his voice to speak. Denny Muindarbi says before he knew the truth, he resented his mother because they were so poor.
Sometimes I would go to school when at night I didn't eat, where I've spent like the whole night and day without eating.
Most of the mothers can't afford secondary school fees, which total $150 US a year. So their children only attend primary school. Denny's school experience was made even more difficult by other students.
Why others, my fellow students, go to school while they are laughing and me? And I would go to school with this feeling of having like anyone who could step on me, I could do something bad to him. Because I'm feeling that anger, because I'm lonely for them, they are laughing, they have fathers and mothers, me, I don't have a father.
He eventually stopped going to school and ran away from home.
My mom, when she joined Sevota, she told them about my behaviors at home. They told her to go and look for me, to bring me back home.
They say life is much better with the support of Sevota. The group pays Denny's secondary school fees, but it's still very, very difficult to live through the challenges of poverty in Rwanda. Denny is back at school now, but tries to spend his time helping his mom.
I work so that I could support my mom because my mom is having HIV. Cleaning, washing cars, mopping houses. If an old person comes to me and he sends me for something, I go running. When I come back, he gives me tips to take them to mom. Because of respecting my elders and working very closely with the people, now they love me.
Denny is trying to see himself in a new light.
That gives me hopes that I should become a better man in future.
Denny and the other young men are looking to see if the darkness of the genocide is over. Meanwhile, their mothers take on the past, the trauma, the physical effects, and the social stigma with the help of each other, and with their children by their side. I'm Mary Rose Madden for 88.1 WYPR.